No pocket.
No pocket. Okay. I keep it here. Will it catch?
Okay.
Hey, praise the Lord. I really want to thank all of you, thank Pastor Elias and all of you for inviting me. I wish my wife also was here. We intended to come together, but because our daughter had the baby, so she had to be there to help them out. But thank you so much. It has been such a wonderful time to be part of this fellowship, and especially to meet the missionaries. I really didn't spend much time with everyone, but just to listen to their story, listen to their life, listen to what God has been doing in their life was very precious. Praise God for this privilege, this opportunity that the Lord has given. So we go to the last session in this whole series on how God is moving the church with His Holy Spirit. Okay, so this is what we have been talking about. And in the last session, we talked about the roadmap. Remember Genesis 1:28, we talked about the roadmap. Can you remember what are the five aspects or the five parts of the roadmap, God's cultural or the creation mandate, five dimensions? Can you remember? Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. Wonderful. So that is what God has for us. Okay, so be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. Now this part of subduing is what I concluded, and I said dominion we'll talk about in this last session. But when I talked about this part of subduing, this is about harnessing or conquering our workspaces. That when we go out there, that we are not just people who survive, who are not just there to do some mediocre kind of work. We are people, men and women of excellence in all that we do. And that's why those two words, remember those two Hebrew words? What are those two Hebrew words, if you remember? Abad, Shamar. Abad and Shamar. And you remember the meanings of those two words. Abad has three meanings. Work, worship to God. Your work is a worship to God. That you do whatever you do it for God's glory. Worship to God. And is a service for mankind. Everything you do is a service for mankind. So that is the first word, abad. Shamar. Shamar has two meanings. One is obedience to God. My work, I do my work as obedience to the standards of God, to the laws of God. Companies, organizations, institutions, wherever we work, they have their standards, they have their set rules and regulations. Definitely we follow that, but our standards are not just the standards of the organization. Our standards are God's standards. We want to do what is right before God. So that is the first understanding, obedience to God and to be good stewards of what God has entrusted to us. Now, Abad and Shamar was the Hebrew understanding of work. Okay, the Hebrew understanding of work. So that's how they worked. That's how they raised up their generation. That's how they raised up their children. They said Abad and Shamar, Abad and Shamar. Everything was Abad and Shamar for them. And you see what is the end result? The end result is, if you look today, 25% of the Nobel Prize winners are Jews. Okay, 25% of the Nobel Prize winners in different fields, science, medicine, and many, many different fields, are Jews. And what is their population in comparison to the population of the whole world? Is very, very small, insignificant population. 25% of the Nobel Prize winners are Jews. Why? Abad and Shamar. So you want to raise up giants, follow Abad and Shamar. You will raise up giants, because that is the principle of God's word. Now, that is how we are people who conquer. So we are people of diligence and excellence in our workplaces. But that leads us to this part of having dominion. Now, why is dominion significant? Is because
the world is under the control of the evil one. So we are here to, when we as church we consider dominion, we must consider that we are being sent out. I use the word scatter in my last session, gathered church and the scattered church. And Shibu was talking to me in the, over lunch today, I don't know, sometime he talked to me and he said, can you think of another word other than scattered? Because scattered somehow communicates, doesn't sound a very positive word, you know. Because in the Bible, when the Israelites disobeyed God, God scattered them. So scatter word is not so good. He said, I don't feel very happy about the word. I understand what you're saying, but think of something else. But I just want us to read this passage, Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 4. Anybody? Acts 13, 1 to 4.
Now in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manae, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they were engaged in ministry for the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work I have called them to do. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went to Seleucia and from there sailed to Cyprus.
Sent out by the Holy Spirit. So instead of the word scattered, I should be using the word sending. Gathered church and the sending church. Okay, the gathered church and the sending church. That's how we need to see ourselves. Gathered church and the sending church. It's the Holy Spirit that sends out people. So all of us, as you know, we need to be conscious of this. We are all being prepared to be sent out in different fields, in different areas, in different spheres of life, wherever God is sending us out, and those are all places of God's God's kingdom. We are bringing God's kingdom there. Those are sacred places, not secular places, but they are sacred places. We are being sent out, and the church is always sending out. Everyone in the church is looked at as a person who's to be sent out. You're going as a teacher, you're going as an engineer, you're going as a professional, you are being sent out by the church under the empowerment and enablement of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit is sending you out. So when we begin to see church like this, it becomes so exciting. Lord, praise God. It's not just the missionaries who are being sent out. All of us are sent out people. And we look at ourselves and we are here to support each other, encourage one another, because everyone in different places are being sent out by the church under the enablement and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So that is the understanding that we need to have. Okay. Now, when you are sent out, okay, we need to realize that we are going to face challenges. But when you are sent out, we need to keep the focus in mind. Colossians 1. Verse 20, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So what is our goal? When we are being sent out, we are there to reconcile all things to God. Things on earth and things in heaven, having been to reconcile them back to God. Dr. Alex said this world is going into a terrible condition day by day. It's going further and further away from God, which is true. But till the time we are here on earth, we are here to reconcile. We are here to reconcile. It may be a challenging task for every one of us in our particular domain, in particular space, particular sphere where God has kept us. But our task is to reconcile, and our agenda is Colossians 1:20. Follow this agenda. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So God is drawing all things to himself. And so when we go out there, We are being sent out by the church under the enablement of the Holy Spirit. The church is going out into various areas, various zones. We are reconciling all things back to God. That is our task. That is the work that we are doing. So when we do this, we realize we are going to face opposition. Okay, and we, as we go out, let's also read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 20. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 20.
In all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation.
And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, so that is the ministry that God has given to every one of us in the body of Christ. We are all being sent out in the enablement of the Holy Spirit because this is the ministry that God has entrusted to us. Yes, go ahead, Bob. Reconciling the world to himself,
not imputing their trespasses
unto them,
and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
Committed to us, God has committed to us the word of reconciliation, committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. So we are people under a commissioning of God. Okay, we are under a commissioning of God. We are here to go out there and do this work of reconciliation. Now, when you work in organizations, any place you work, there is always an accountability system, isn't it? You know, you do work, there is a job description, there is a job responsibility, there are deliverables, you have to deliver this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, in this kind of time frame, these are the things that you have to produce, whatever. There are different things in different work, and at that particular time frame, the supervisor and you will have to sit down and look at your performance. Have these things happened? Have not happened? Why it did not happen? All kinds of things happen, and then there's a performance evaluation. You know, we are all very familiar with it. This is how the world operates. There's a performance evaluation. Then your increments and your promotions are all based on how well you have fulfilled the task that you have done. We're all very used to this. That's how it goes. Why is it that when it comes to God, we never worry about what is the expectation of us? God has given us a very clear task to do. And he said, this is what I'm entrusting you to do. I've committed this work to you. Let's realize this. One day we'll be asked an account by God. Have you been doing this work of reconciliation? Church, I entrusted this to you. You were supposed to be sent out. All of you were being sent out under the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to go out there in the marketplace, not just to somehow get along, but to do what God wants you to do. God wants you to do. And you can't give excuses. Whatever the organization may do or not do is a different matter. But you and I are answerable to God. Yes, ma'am, continue further. Committed to us the ministry of reconciliation.
As the Lord did receive you by us and betray you in Christ, by you reconciled to God.
Okay, now then we are ambassadors. Ambassadors for Christ. Now, we all are, aware of ambassadors in today's context. There's an ambassador from some other country, and that person comes and lives in our country, or our ambassador goes and lives in some other country. The role of an ambassador is very, very ornamental. You know, he goes or she goes in different places. Has to be very careful. Must not speak anything. Has to be very careful with the words. Must not hurt this government. Must not hurt your own government which you represent. So the ambassador has to walk a very thin line. And that is generally how we see the way the ambassadors function. But here, when you and I are ambassadors for Christ, let's understand this. You are bringing God's kingdom into the kingdom of the enemy. You are not just ambassador who's playing an ornamental role. You're going and saying, now I have come as ambassador for Christ into this workplace, into this arena, into this sphere of life where God has kept me. I will bring kingdom. I won't just be a good representative of Christ and walk a thin line. I will bring kingdom here. That is a very big difference, a big distinction that is there for us. And so that is what God has called us to do. We are here to be ambassadors for Christ, right? And when we go out there, let's understand there's going to be an enemy. Okay, John 17 verses 15 to 18. John 17, 15 to 18. There will be attack. There will be the enemy who will say, who brought you here to do God's work? How can you bring king? How dare you come here to be an ambassador for Christ? And you want to bring kingdom of God here? And he will show up. The enemy will be very upset. Okay, John 17, 15 to 18. I pray. Now, John 17 is the prayer of Jesus, isn't it? Praying to the Father. What is Jesus praying? I pray, Father, that you should not take them out of the world. But you should keep them from the evil one. So you see, the Lord is intentionally sending us out there. Sending us out there into the war zone. Okay, you and I are being sent out as ambassadors, sent out by the church under the enablement, empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Please keep this in mind. This is what we are here for. As a camp, we have gathered here to know that as we go back, you are now getting ready to become God's people who are being sent out into the war zone. Okay, God is saying, let's read that 15th verse again. Don't take them out of the world, but what? Keep them from the evil one. Okay, then.
They are not of the world.
They are not of the world.
Even as I am not of the world.
So when we go into this war zone, you are going to go there with an entire different perspective to everything. Your perspective will be the perspective of God. Your perspective will be the perspective of the kingdom. Where there, it will be a different, that the world system will operate. They are not of the world. That's why Jesus is saying, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Friends, understand this. You will be countered. There will be resistance because your perspective and my perspective as God's people, as we enter that area, will be the perspective of the Word of God. Perspective of God's kingdom. And there you will have to confront the perspective of the world. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Then, next verse.
Sanctify them through thy truth.
Therefore, since they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world, Lord, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So friends, that is why we need God's word. God's word. God's word. Because God's word cleanses your perspective. You know, like I was sharing this afternoon about this whole issue of my boss wanting me to sell any kind of product. And he said his whole interest was bottom line and profits. Whereas I was saying, no sir, the farmer's life must not be hurt. We must think of his good perspective. Our perspective will be constantly cleaned out by the word. Can you read that part again, Ma?
Sanctify them through
the truth. Word is truth. Now you see the importance of God's word. That is why in the church there must be solid, interactive, very, very engaging Bible studies. Bible study should not become a drudgery. When you have a church Bible study, it must be very exciting, very engaging, because you are going to let the word of God cleanse your perspective. Because you are a sent out person. Lord, how do I handle this crisis? How do I handle this difficult situation? What should be my response? What should not be my response? How will you get guidance? Scripture. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is true. See, when you understand this, then the church, when we come together for fellowship, for prayer, for the study of the word, it will be with a very, very, clear intention. Lord, I must get something today from the scriptures which will enable me to face the world out there when I go and face challenges. Okay, next verse. He's saying to the Father, Jesus is praying to the Father and saying, Father, just as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. What a great commissioning. What a great commissioning. We talk about the great commission, but John 17 is the commissioning for the church. Go out there. You bring God's, you be an ambassador for Christ. Okay, so that is what God is calling us to, and we are going to face challenges. And it's a reality. Today it is hitting us on our face. The persecution is right at our doorstep. That is our reality today. Okay. Now, the world is under the control of the evil one. 1 John 5:19, and we understand this. Now, what really are the, when you talk about the world being under the control of the evil one, let's get some more understanding of this. Let's look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 5 to 8. Luke 4, 5 to 8.
And the devil, taking him up into the high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time.
Mm.
And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee.
Mm. Then what did Jesus say?
If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine.
Mm.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve.
No. Consider this, okay? This is the second temptation here in Luke's Gospel. The devil has taken Jesus to a particular point, and the devil is showing to Jesus if you look at that verse there, all the kingdoms of the world and the authority, that word is very important. Authority is rule, dominion. Okay, he is the one who is saying, I have this, all these kingdoms of the world and their authority has been given to me. Can you read it again? How does he say that? How does he put that across to Jesus? Okay.
All this power will I give.
All this power, in other translations, is authority.
And the glory of the devil, for that is delivered unto me.
Given to me.
And to whomsoever I will give it.
And I will give it to whomsoever. How does it come? I will give it to whomever I wish. Now, to whom did God give authority? We've been reading that again and again. To whom did God give authority to rule God's creation? Or all of God's creation?
Man.
Now the devil is saying, all this authority has been given to me, and I can give it to whomever I wish. Absurd. Total lie. And he's telling this to whom? Who's Jesus? Creator. The owner. The owner. He's telling the owner, I can give it to whomever I want. Now, suppose you own a house, your flat, apartment, and you have given it on rent. Okay? One day you just visit your apartment to see how your tenant is, and you go there and your tenant says, this flat is mine. I own this. If you want, I can give it to you. Hey, what are you talking? This is not yours. You're a tenant here. See, this is how it's going on. This conversation is, he's telling the owner, all this is mine. This authority is mine. And I can give it to whomever I wish. Then what does he say? If you will.
If you will worship me, it shall be yours.
You know, what should Jesus have immediately answered? Come on. First of all, you're speaking a lie. You are trying to deceive me. You are not the owner. But look at the answer of Jesus. What did Jesus answer?
And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.
Okay, Jesus said, you can only worship the Lord, and him only can you serve. In other words, what did Jesus not talk about with the devil? When the devil actually raised up this big question, authority. The authority issue Jesus should have dealt with it then and there. and said, "This, you don't talk about authority. Authority is never given to you." Instead, Jesus did not talk about authority, only talked about worship. You cannot worship anyone else but God alone. Why do you think Jesus did not talk about authority? Why?
God gave the world to man.
Yeah.
But man gave it to devil.
Okay. You're saying man gave it to devil, but that needs to be understood a little bit more. Why at that point Jesus should have refuted the devil, isn't it? And said, "Devil, stop talking a lie. Don't deceive. You have no authority at all." But the Lord did not address that issue of authority. Only address the issue of worship. Any reason, do you think?
Why to argue with the devil?
Friends, please understand, it is only at the cross that authority was restored. You see, when we sin, like as brother said, the problem came when we sinned, we got into his clutches. He has no authority. He is only a deceiver. But since we got, remember that picture of the prison. We are in his prison house. We are now prisoners under the devil. So what is he doing? He is dictating his agenda through us. Read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25-26. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25-26.
Mm. Perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their
senses
and
escape the snare of the devil,
having been captive,
he has taken captive
by him to do his
sin. You see what sin did to us? Sin did many things to us. We fell in many, many places. One of the things that we really fell into is here. We became captives. We came under bondage to him to do what? To do his will. And he could now execute his will with such freedom through us, so that he could have the gall, the audacity to tell the owner, "This authority is mine." Authority was never given to him. He never got authority. But because of our sin, I hope you understand the seriousness of our sin problem. Our sin problem led us to such a terrible situation that we are now in his custody, in his bondage. He is now dictating agenda through us. He is now ruling the world through us. That is why the cross came, to set us free and say, "Now get back to where you should have been in the very beginning. You are the one who got authority. Take back your rule." But what have we done to the cross? Oh, cross is for my personal salvation. I come to the cross because my sins are forgiven. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the cross. You took my place. You died for my sin. Thank you. I have received forgiveness. We have stopped there. But the cross is, come back, take authority. Rule. The church has not come to that place of understanding the whole matter of authority. This is what the devil has done to us. Okay, so this is the understanding that we need to get here. So what has happened is, we need to realize that that man is caught in the snare of the evil one, even though man is still God's assigned ruler of all of God's creation. So we are still that, because the word of God says the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Once God has given, he has given. So God's call, God's give, God's position to us is irrevocable. But now, because of sin, we are under the custody of the evil one, and he is executing his agenda through us. He doesn't want the church to be aware of this. As long as the church is not aware of this issue, he's very happy. You keep doing your programs, you keep doing your evangelism, he's not the least bit worried. The minute you realize, "No, why am I here? You have taken me into custody. I have been set free by the cross. Now I'll take back my rightful position. I will go back to what I should have been doing from the very beginning. I'll take back my rightful position." If the church begins to become conscious of it, the devil has a problem. The devil has a problem. He doesn't want the church to be aware. And that's why when we send out our people out there to go into the workplaces, We need to send them out saying, now know who you are. Know that you are no more under his custody. The cross has set you free. Go out there and do what you need to do in terms of setting chasing this devil out. Okay. Now when we talk of this bondage, we have been this bondage, we need to realize his bondage over man is such a deep bondage. When you say man is under the custody of the devil, we need to realize it's not a simple custody. It's not a simple prison house. It's a solid prison house in which he has caught society, caught humanity. This is where man is today. So I'm showing you six of the power centers. Six of the power centers. Now, as Pastor Elias was talking about, when we talk about warfare, spiritual warfare, the church must engage in spiritual warfare. We have to identify the strongholds. Remember what Raj said. Every one of these strongholds are particular devils. They are particular individual devils that are holding it. And there's a whole system, there's a whole structure under which how the devil operates. Very well organized. And all of these are in his control. So when we go out there and we face each of these challenges in our sphere of life and sphere of work, we need to realize our enemy is not the people, our enemy is the devil. Okay, let's read that. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians 6, 12. We are not, our warfare, our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against
the principalities, against the powers, against the world, rulers of this present
darkness,
against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places.
Spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So when we are being sent out as a church, in the enablement of the Holy Spirit, when we go there, we need to see how this warfare is happening and how the devil is holding areas in his clutches. The spiritual hosts of wickedness, that's how they are controlling the whole situation. So when we look at this, let's try to understand this. There are different power centers. Okay, one of the big power center is culture. Culture is in his hand and he manipulates culture. So you see it, you constantly confront cultural issues. And then it comes up to you in different ways. I don't want to go into detail, but you know what I'm talking about. Different cultural things that are against God, against the character and nature of God. You face it. Don't run away from it. Address it. Because this is where we bring kingdom. We bring kingdom. We need to push out those things. There are many good things in the culture. But there are also so many things which the devil has brought into the culture. And we need to see the distinction and say, this is not of God. I will not allow this to happen. I've got to bring kingdom here. Culture is a solid place where he holds people in bondage. Then society, social life. So we need to see that all of these are interrelated. Culture and cultural issues and social issues. Social issues are again various kinds of oppression. Society puts all kinds of oppressions and says, this is what it should be. This is how you should fall in line. This is what you should do. You know, we have in our home, we have gardeners who are working. And every day they come and tell us, Amma, I'm not able to do this because my society people, they're saying, no, you have to do this. You have to follow this kind of a ritual. You have to do this kind of a, you have to spend this kind of money for doing this and doing that. These are the bondages the society is putting. And if you don't follow those customs, you don't follow those things that they have put and don't, conduct those whatever kind of festivals, then they say, no, you're not part of our society. So society in different ways will oppress. Society oppresses. Culture and social life is so oppressive. And you and I as God's people, when we see this, don't run away. Don't back off. Don't say, no, I've just come here to share the gospel and go away. This is where the devil is active. This is our warfare zone. Say, no, I will chase you out from here. Culture, social life, spiritual. These are all, you can see how deeply connected they are. Spiritual matters. I'm sure you can relate. You can think of many examples. What comes to me immediately is, we had these farmers committing suicide. You know, you must be aware of it. Maharashtra, Telangana area, some of these places, there were a lot of farmers committing suicide. So, government of Maharashtra was very concerned because so many cotton farmers were committing suicide, and they wanted to find out why they were committing suicide. And they found out that because they had borrowed a lot of money, they are not able to pay back, and so the suicides were happening. So government told the banks, whatever money they have borrowed, you don't have to try and get it back from farmers. Waive off the loans. Told the banks to waive off the loans. Okay, banks said government is putting the money back. So the banks waived off the farmers' loans. But still farmers were committing suicide. Why? They dug up further and found out farmers are not just borrowing from banks. Farmers are borrowing from the money lenders. Now money lenders' interest is huge. So the money lender is very happy because they are borrowing from him. So what do you do now? So how do you solve this problem? They're not able to solve this problem. Then they wanted, why are they borrowing from money lenders? They found out they are borrowing from money lenders not to do agriculture. They are borrowing from money lenders to conduct a social activity. Some kind of a ritual had to be conducted in the house. Some kind of a puja had to be conducted. If you don't do that puja, if you don't conduct that ritual, the society will push you out. So the whole thing is interconnected. It is now this issue. This is a problem that they had to appease some gods and goddesses. So you see, the bondage is so deep that even though government wants to help farmers and say they should not commit suicide, there is no answer. The answer is deep inside. It's a socio-cultural, spiritual bondage. Who can address this? Church. Not government. No NGO can solve this problem. NGOs can come and conduct a health camp and give some money for putting borewell. NGOs can do it. Can't solve this bondage. Who's going to solve the bondage? Church. You understand what I'm saying? This is the warfare. When we identify these issues, realize, friends, wherever you go, whichever sphere of life, I'm talking about interior places, but I'm talking about in the cities, in the corporate world, same thing operates. It operates, it shows up in different ways, but it operates. But that's where you have to identify and say, I will be the man of God here, I will be the woman of God here, I will knock this out. Then there's the fourth big problem and the big power center is your moral, personal moral issues. So there's a big problem here. You know, bondages and all kinds of immorality and terrible things that goes on in society, and that is where again their identity and everything is marred because of personal moral issues. This leads to another power center which devil holds, which is the biophysical. So then they are trapped in addictions, various kinds of substance addictions. And so we see that in society. We see so sad. Look at how many men, especially men, you know, who are not able to get out of the alcohol addictions, who come and beat up their wives and all kinds of terrible things. These are regular stories that we hear. Physical, biophysical issues, weak body, weak mind. And the big bondage is money. Money is God. So you see how these six power centers are all so active, so strong, they are all interconnected, interrelated, interwoven. They are like a web. This is a web that the devil has put on society. And that is what you as a church we must address. We must realize a web out there, web of evil. And this is where the Lord is sending the church out. Go out there and go and bring God's rule. Chase the enemy out, because only you have the mandate. Nobody else. Governments cannot do this. Church has the mandate. If the nation has to be rescued from this bondage, please understand, church alone has the mandate. Nobody else. Nobody else. Once this gets registered in our understanding, we'll say, Lord, what a great task. And remember, I'm repeating this again and again. what God has entrusted to us, God will also take account of us. We give account to our organizations for the job responsibility that is given to us. Very familiar with it. We know how that works. How is it that with God, we are so casual? Paakalam. Paakalam. Mudinja paakalam. We'll see. Sorry, this is not about paakalam. You and I have to go there and say, this is our job. We are ambassadors of Christ. Ambassadors of Christ is not an ornamental role. It is warfare. I will engage with the enemy. I will pull this fellow down. All these strongholds, I'll knock them out. We are church. We are church. Church has this great position. That's what you and I must be conscious of. Okay? So I hope you see the warfare. And I hope you now realize our prayer life must completely step up. You've got to step up your prayer life. It can no more be a prayer life that is inward looking. Lord bless me. Lord take care of me. Lord give us this. Lord give us that. Take care of our family. That all forget about. Just forget about that. Just don't be bothered. God knows my family needs. What we are going to now pray for is identify the strongholds. Oh, you are here. And remember, each of these strongholds, there is a devil behind it. Identify the devil and say, I am telling you, run from here. You have been here for all these hundreds of years and you are telling me that this is how culture will go. This is how society will go. This is how everything will run. No, sorry, I won't accept it. We are church. We are telling you, get out now. We are God's people. We have come. Now when that begins to happen, I tell you, your church will be on a different plane altogether. Different plane altogether. Okay? Okay. Good. So that's the warfare. And so that is why we need to understand the victory and the cross. So we read this passage yesterday. Let's read it again. Colossians 2, 14 and 15. That's why Jesus did not refute the devil in Luke's Gospel chapter 4. I hope you understand what you remember. You understand what I'm saying. Luke's Gospel chapter 4, Jesus did not address the authority issue, only dealt with the worship issue. Why? Because authority was dealt with on the cross. Okay? Colossians 2, 14, 15.
Having cancelled the certificate of death consisting of decrees
against us,
which was hostile to us.
Hostile to us.
He has taken it out of the
way. He took it out of the way.
Having nailed it
to the cross.
When he had disarmed the rulers and others.
He disarmed. Please listen to that. Listen to that. That's very precious for us. Precious for the church. He disarmed whom?
Rulers and the
authorities. Disarmed them. And disarmed the rulers and the authorities.
Made a
public spectacle of them. Made a tamasha. In the Hindi translation it says he made a tamasha out of them. That's the way he triumphed over the enemy. And he made a public spectacle of them. Triumphing. Triumphing over them through the cross. Okay. So whenever the devil shows up, and he will show up, you must tell him and remind him of the cross. Devil, you run because you have been made a public spectacle out there. Jesus has triumphed over you. You have been defeated. Don't trouble us. Don't try and tell us you cannot do this. We will tell you because you have been defeated. Tell the devil again and again about the cross. When you put the cross in front of him, he will tremble. He will tremble. And he doesn't want the church to know that this is the victory that we have in the cross. Through the cross of Christ. Okay? So this is the strategy that we have to use. Calling and constantly being conscious of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Okay? And this victory, hallelujah, this victory that Jesus got on the cross, it's not just a victory that Jesus got on the cross. This victory is now transferred to the church. Okay? Ephesians chapter 1 from verses 18 to 23. Ephesians 1, 18 to 23.
I pray that the eyes of your heart.
You see what is Paul's prayer for the church? He says, I'm praying that your eyes of your understanding. Look at the prayer. This is his prayer for the church. Church, I want the eyes of your understanding to open. Then,
so that you will know what is the hope of his calling.
You should know what is the hope of your calling.
What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance?
What is the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints?
And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe?
surpassing greatness of the power towards us who believe.
These are in accordance with the working of strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the
dead. Now watch this. Raised him up from the dead, and then what happened, brother?
Seated him at his right hand.
Seated Jesus at his right hand
in the heavenly
realms,
far above
all rule, authority, power,
dominion.
And
every name
that is named, not only in this age, wow, what a victory. Brother, I'd just like you to repeat that again. The name that has been, the position to which Jesus has been raised up. You know, when you read these passages must just fill your heart. Wow, Lord, the victory that you got for us on the cross is no ordinary victory, Lord. Let's read that, brother. That part of, you know, God raised him up.
Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named,
not only in this age,
but also in the one
to come. You see, this is what the devil does not want the church to know. The church must tell the devil, this is the fact. Jesus has been raised up to this high position, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. You have nothing. You're finished. We must tell the devil that with strong authority. Strong authority. No need to fear the devil at all. No fear. Tell the devil, you are nothing. You have been defeated. Jesus is raised up to this position. Then, brother, go forward. He put all things in subjection
under
his feet, that is the feet of Jesus,
and gave
him, that is Father, has given Jesus as head over all things
to the church,
which is his body that fills all in all. The fullness of Christ is the body. This high position to which Jesus has been raised has been now given to the church. As his body, you stand up to the devil and say, devil, run from India. Hundreds of years you have been holding people in that terrible, terrible bondage. And nobody can come out of it. Everybody says, this is how the culture is. This is how the society is. This is how everything happens in our country. And the church also said, oh, so sad. So sad. Let us do some evangelism. Let's somehow get some converts. Let's somehow bring some people here. No. This is not about just getting a few people converted, but getting a few people to accept Christ. That is good. Let's do this. But the warfare is at a much more higher level. Break that bondage. Finish, devil, get out. We are God's people. Too long you have been fooling us. You have made us think, oh, small victories here, small victory there, some inroads. We are very happy. We are very happy. We'll put our statistics. We did this evangelism. We did this. 10 people accepted the Lord. Fantastic, very good. We didn't think nation. The Lord says, I want your eyes to be opened. Church, I want your eyes to be open. I want you to know who you are. And the victory that I have given to you, go take. Not only in this age, but also in the age to come. You are of a high order. Church, come on, move forward. Don't remain here. Just being satisfied, little bit of victories here and there. Move this enemy out. Okay, that is Ephesians 1, 18 to 23. Move to another passage, Ephesians 3, 9 to 11. Ephesians 3, 9 to 11.
And to bring to light what is the essence of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God who created all
things,
so that the manifold wisdom.
No, wait a minute. So, brother, he is writing and saying, I want you to know the mystery. Okay, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus and saying, church at Ephesus, I want you to know the mystery which has been hidden for all this time. So, brother, read again 9th verse.
And to bring to light what is the essential of the
mystery
which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things.
Okay, which has been hidden in God who created all things. Now, he says there's a mystery. Okay, that is 9th verse. Then 10th verse, he says this is the mystery. Now, 10th verse, what is the mystery?
So that the
manifold wisdom of God
might now be made
might now be made known to whom?
Through the church.
To the rulers and the authorities in the
heavenly.
That is the mystery. The mystery that has been kept hidden for all the ages is now made known. And what is that mystery? That now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. That is the mystery. Now revealed. Now 11th verse.
This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus.
This is God's eternal plan. Which he carried out in Christ Jesus. What have we done? Limited the plan. Narrowed the plan. Personal salvation, Lord, we are very happy. You gave me personal salvation. You gave me redemption. Oh, I'm very happy. I have eternal life. I'm so happy. True, you will have eternal life. But the eternal plan was something else. Brother, read it again. 9 to 11. Go home and study. Please go home and study and get excited about this. This is what God is. God's eternal plan is. Ephesians 3, 9 to 11. Yeah.
And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery.
Hmm.
Which for ages
has
been hidden in God who created our day. Mm. So that the manifold wisdom of God.
Manifold wisdom of God.
Might now be made known through the church.
Might be made known through the church.
To the rulers.
To the rulers.
And authorities in the
heavenly places. Then.
This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus.
This is in accordance to his eternal purpose. Which he carried out through Christ Jesus. And that is what God has intended for us. That is how the church must know this. That God has now given this victory for the church. Now imagine God has done his part. Not only has he given you personal salvation, redemption, eternal life. All of which we are so excited about. But now we realize God has also given this to the church. And if the church does not fulfill what she was supposed to fulfill, what will happen to the heart of God? Think about it. He won't his heart break. My bride, you are very special. You know, I have a task for you to do on earth. I have set you up in such a way that you will go and break those strongholds, finish those, that fellow, and bring in the kingdom rule of God. And the church is not moving into that level at all. It will break his heart. Let's not break his heart. Let's not break his heart. Let's say, Lord, please forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, for our self-centered Christianity. Selfish Christianity. God bless me. God go do this for me. God give this for me. God take care. Because why are you worried about yourself? I am responsible for you. You come up, do the task that I have for you to do. God, move us, Lord, to that war zone. Church, Lord, we want to move into the war zone. Lord, we'll bring down the enemy. Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6. What is it that God wants us to do? 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 6. Tambi, loudly.
Though we live in this world,
our warfare is not through the flesh, yeah? The weapons of our warfare are how?
Not worldly.
But having divine spiritual powers. Yeah.
Destroy strongholds.
The weapons of our warfare are not fleshly. They are divine weapons to bring down strongholds. Huh?
We destroy arguments.
Every proud obstacle. Brother, let me listen to what is your translation somewhat. I'm getting a little confused. But let me hear, brother, you read. How does it read in your translation? Tambi, I know your. Thank you for your reading. Yeah. Yeah, please. From verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10 3.
We walk in the flesh.
We do not war according to the flesh.
For the weapons of our warfare.
Are not carnal, are not of the flesh,
but
divine weapons,
powerful for
destruction of fortresses, strongholds.
We are destroying
speculations
and every lofty thing
that
raised up against,
Against the knowledge of God. Look at the lofty things that today are saying, we don't need God. We can live independent of God. God, you move aside. All these rubbish, all these lofty things. The Lord is saying, go and destroy these arguments. All these kind of thoughts that is prevalent in the society. Our job is to move it out. Okay, brother.
And we are taking every thought captive.
Every thought captivity in captive, taking them into captivity, captive, bring them into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
And we are ready to punish all
disobedience. Obedience is fulfilled. So we are ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That means our own personal walk with God can never be taken for granted. Church, when you get into warfare, he will hit hard. Okay? The enemy will hit hard and he will knock you out in your own personal life. Our walk with God, our holiness, our right life that is right before God. And remember, when you talk about holiness, it is not how you and I are in front of others. It is who you are when you are away from the eyes of others. When you are all alone, who are you? Who are you? What's happening in your thought life? What is it that you are thinking about all the time? What's happening in your secret areas? That is who you are. If there is no obedience there, if there is no holiness there, you come and try to engage the enemy, he'll hit you hard. Okay? Church, Lord, let us walk with you. Let's not just get satisfied with our walk with you. Our walk with you is important. But our walk with you is in order, not that we'll engage the enemy. Okay? So keep this passage. These passages are very important. 2 Corinthians 10. 3-6. Okay. So now, we are the sending church. Okay. Am I okay with time, Joy? No problem, no? Okay. Joy is there to take care of. Make sure I reach the airport. Okay. Sending church. Now, I'm just giving you this picture here. Just to give an idea what it means to be people who are being sent out. The sending church. What does that mean? So the gathered church is primarily engaged here. Worship, prayer, word and nurture. This is what happens in the gathered church. But this is just one part of church. The church is also gathered church and the sending church. I'm changing that word scattered into the word sending church. Okay. So the four major areas to which we are being sent out is, first of all, we are sent out to be prophetical. Please note that down. Huh? Come again, sorry.
Amen.
Amen. We are sent out to be prophetical. Raj talked a lot about what it means to have the gift of prophecy. Forth-telling. So we are sent out to be prophetical people in every place. Wherever we are, in different areas, in different fields, we need to realize we are doing all that. Remember the fivefold mandate, the creation mandate. We do all of that. But even as we do the fivefold mandate, creation mandate, and follow the roadmap, we are also being prophetical. Prophetical people there. Speaking God's word. Forth telling God's word. So that is one of the primary areas of being sent out. We are sent out to be prophetical. Number two, our personal process or our identity in Christ, which means, you know, every time we are so conscious that we represent Jesus, not only what we say communicates Jesus, what we don't say also communicates Jesus. Not only our non-verbals will communicate a lot. Our non-verbals is what they will observe, not just the verbals. Everything must communicate Christ. I've seen many times in my company, my colleagues will say, "Hey, the boss was talking nonsense. Why didn't you speak up?" Every time I've spoken up, that man gets so angry with me. But that one time I did not speak, my colleagues will ask me, "Why didn't you speak up? You're supposed to speak up." See the expectation. You're supposed to be man of God here. I mean, see how the world is looking at us. They're constantly evaluating us. So, we are our identity in Christ. Be conscious of it. we are so constantly aware that, Lord, we represent Jesus here. Everything about us is mapped against Christ. Is mapped against Christ. Is this who Christ is? Okay, so keep that. We need to keep that always conscious. And that's how we have to raise up our generations also. So that's second part of being sent out. The third one is professional excellence. So we are being sent out to be men and women who are men and women of excellence. And then this fourth one is, remember, we are into nation building. We are into nation building. Whether you like it or not, we are into nation building. This nation is our responsibility. Please, don't wash your hands off our country. Oh, this is a rotten country, useless place. Don't say this. This is our country. This is our responsibility. Nation building is the responsibility of the church. Lord, we will build nation. Lord, we will see where we can step in, where we can raise up mighty men and women of God who will fill in those gaps. Intentionally, the church must be in nation building. Okay, that's where we really expand. This is what it is to have the gathered church and the sending church. Gathered church and the sending church. This is how we need to see it. Okay. And the church has been given responsibility to rule over powers and structures that come against the kingdom of God. And so that's why we pray that prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, when we talk about kingdom of God, please understand, kingdom of God and will of God cannot be separated. Whenever you talk kingdom of God, it will also mean the will of God. That means if you are saying I'm in the kingdom of God, it is nothing but the will of God. Turn to Matthew 7:21. Matthew 7:21.
Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven.
Read further also, 22 and 23.
Many will say to me on that day,
Go ahead, up to 23.
Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles.
Then
I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.
Please think, who are these people to whom Jesus said, I never knew you? Who are these people? Miracle workers. People who drove out demons. People who did mighty things. The Lord will say, I never knew you. My question, which I get frightened to even bring this question out. My question is, if that is what Jesus will say to these people, this category of people, what guarantee that he won't say it to Valentine? Valentine, you went and preached, no? Very good. I don't know who you are. Because will of God was not there. Lot of great things you did. Life was not about God's will. God's kingdom and God's will are one and the same. Please understand that. If you want to have a simple definition, what is the kingdom of God? Jesus took so many parables to explain the kingdom of God. And I'm saying one sentence. Kingdom of God is the will of God. Okay? Lord, not my will, your will. Not my will, your will. So that is kingdom. So that is what God wants from us. Okay. Now, to this call, Christ has called the church to build his kingdom here on earth. And to that end, he has given to us the keys of the kingdom. Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. The keys of the kingdom have been given to his church.
I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it.
Wait a minute. Okay. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. What is Jesus saying? Is it about Peter? No. He's not just talking about Peter. He's talking about the amazing declaration that Peter gave at that time. Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is Peter. You know, Peter, you understood something very precious. You're able to understand who I am. Peter, this declaration that you made, this is really the rock. On this rock, on this stone, I will build the church. This is the cornerstone. On this cornerstone, which is precious, on this cornerstone, I will build my church. Okay, Peter, you have made the declaration. This is the foundation. I will build my church. And then what is the last part, brother, of that verse? The gates.
And the gates of the Hades will not overcome it.
The gates of Hades will not overcome it. Overcome what? Overcome the church. When we say gates, what do we mean by gates? Gates represent authority. You know, in the Old Testament, when you go into a village or you go into a town, at the city gate, the elders will be seated there. Because the decisions about the city, about that village, about the town would be settled at the city gate. Because that is where the power and the authority was there at the city gate. So when here Jesus is saying, the gates of Hades will not prevail against the church. What does that mean? The authority of Hades cannot overcome the church. Can I get one small hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
No, we get so excited. The authority of darkness cannot. Only institution, only organization, only body, only group that can shake the authority of darkness is the church. Nobody else. Devil doesn't want the church to know this. He says, you be busy. You be busy doing all your programs and activities. I have no problem with you. But when the church realizes we have the power and the authority to knock out the powers of darkness, against the authority of darkness, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against the church. What a promise. What a promise. What a foundation to build our lives on. Lord, we will move with this understanding. Matthew 16:18, Lord, will be the bedrock. We will not be afraid. Lord, we will move out. We will move out and shake this fellow. Shake him up. Because he thinks that he can do whatever he likes. No, we have arrived. Now come to the 19th verse. Matthew 16:19.
I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven.
Mm.
And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.
Keys. Keys. Us. Church, take the keys. That fellow has put a lot of bondage, no? And he is done on. You open those. What you will bind. When you tell him, you tell the devil, you can't come in this territory. I bind you. You cannot enter here. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you lose on earth, when you lose and open up and say, I speak righteousness here. I speak truth here. In my society, in my state, in the place where I am, I speak the justice of God, the truth of God, the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, the ways of God. You speak opening. The keys of the kingdom has been given to us. Whatever you bind will be bound in heaven. Whatever you open will be opened in heaven. When the church begins to realize, Lord, we are the ones who are supposed to introduce righteousness. We are supposed to bring where there is no righteousness. We read several passages. How there is no righteousness in the streets. How there is injustice everywhere. How there is wickedness everywhere. And we sit in our drawing rooms and our dining tables and say, oh, world is so bad. India is so bad. What do you mean India is so bad? You have got the keys. You got the keys. I shared it with somebody, I think, I don't know which, lunchtime or sometime, I was talking about this to a small group of us. I said, Dr. John Stott made a very powerful statement. He said, the Lord Jesus called us to be the world's salt and light. If therefore rottenness and darkness abound around us, it is our fault, we must accept the blame. Scary. The Lord Jesus made us to be the world's India's salt and light is here. India's salt and light is here. If there is rottenness and darkness abounding around us, don't blame the darkness. Don't blame politicians. Don't blame this and that. It is our fault. We must accept the blame. Friends, the keys have been given to us. I'm going to ask you this moment, how many of us in this church will now stand up and say, Lord, I'm serious. I want to engage in warfare. I want to engage in warfare. I want to move out, Lord. I want to be out there in the marketplace. I want to be there where the rubber hits the road. Lord, I want to bring your kingdom. Stand up. I want to challenge you to stand up. Don't stand up if you're not ready for it. Okay? If your knees are shaking, don't stand up. This is for those who are willing to fight the battle. He's saying, devil, you come. You come. You come. We are ready now. We will chase you out. We are God's people. We are church. We are church. We are church. We're going to chase you out. I want to just enjoy this moment and recognize this is what we are here for. We are church. We are God's people. We are here to bring the kingdom rule of God. That is why the church is empowered with the Holy Spirit. We are being sent out in the enablement and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to ask my dear brother, can I request you to come and pray? Pray for us as a prayer of commitment as a church. Commit us to the Lord. And especially as a prayer to dedicate us to this engagement with all family. Let's all unite with Him in prayer.
Loving Lord, we come to Thy throne of grace. Lord, we ask Your mercy and grace upon us, Lord. Lord, we submit all of us into Thy mighty hand. Thank You, Lord, for Thy word come through Thy servant, Lord. Lord, we submit all of us into Thy mighty hand. Bless us, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen us to conquer the cities and our towns and villages for our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to proclaim the gospel of salvation. Help us to release people from the bondage of Satan, Lord. Lord, help us to release people from eternal bondage. Lord, help us to bring them to kingdom of the Jesus Christ. Lord, bless us together. Strengthen us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Please be seated. Praise God. Yeah. Can I give it to you?
Thank you so much, Brother Valen. I think I call you Valen. What a blessing it's been. In fact, this is exactly what we were praying for. And this is exactly what we...